encouraging folks to embrace their passions within the scope of their work and finding out where they can be the most impactful, that's a no-lose proposition for both the employee and for the employer.
Welcome to Modern Business Operations, where we talk with leaders about how ops is adapting to our modern world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Modern Business Operations. My name is Sagi. I'm the CEO and founder of Tonkin. And today I have the pleasure of hosting Matt Schwartz. Hey, Matt. Thank you for coming.
Hey, how are you today?
Very good. Very good.
Well, Thank you, Matt, for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I'm actually very excited for this conversation. There's multiple things you do that I think are very unique. But before we jump in, Matt is the U.S. Finance Group Leader at DLA Piper, but you're also a founding member of Legal Mentor Network. Want to hear all about it, but maybe before we go too deep, if you don't mind sharing sort of high level your career and how you got to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thanks for having me. I'm Matt. I'm an attorney at DLA Piper here in San Diego. I grew up on the East Coast, went to college and law school on the East Coast. Long story short, I always wanted to come to California, and I did end up making the move to San Diego first in the summer here in the summer of 2000, and then full-time in 2001. So I've been out here 20 plus years. My practice here at DLA focuses around representing lenders, both banks and private credit funds, who lend money to technology, healthcare, life sciences, fintech, space tech, clean tech, and other companies. As a partner here, I've recently, in the last couple of years, been appointed to run our entire U.S. finance practice, which covers a whole range of financing opportunities for companies, you know, including commercial finance, structured finance, project finance, energy, restructuring, sports, media, and entertainment. So I see a big swath of deals in my professional world. I'm married, I've got two sons, and I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk about that. I'm very excited to talk about the Legal Mentor Network.
Very nice. Well, first of all, can't beat the weather of California, whether you like it or not. So I understand why you made the move, even if it's just for the weather. But yeah, there's a lot of things that I kind of like was interested in when I first saw your background and your role. And I think I want to talk about Legal Mentor Network as well. This is something we spend a lot of time on this podcast around leadership and how to mentor folks and so on. But before we go there, there's a lot of things going on in the markets in the last few years. And it's interesting from your point of view, sitting in that position, working with a lot of different firms and a lot of different companies. And we are now like December and almost the end of the year, calendar year here when we have this conversation. What is your sense for 2024? What's your sense for 2025? You know, just kind of from your top of your head, like what is the, what's the, probably the top kind of learnings you've had from this year?
Yeah. So I think this year was a one step forward, two steps back kind of year. Companies were waiting, waiting, waiting. Investors were waiting, waiting, waiting in order for the delta between prior valuations in the rosy years and actual valuations now to meet in the middle where deals could get done. I think the election also made people very nervous. World events made people nervous. There was a lot of hesitation. There were a lot of deals that just weren't going forward. Companies that either needed to do something really good or file for bankruptcy, but there was a lot of holding patterns. In our world, there's a lot of what I called amend and pretend, where you're amending the documents and hoping or pretending that things are going to get better, right? What I've been seeing now in the last 60 days is the fork in the road is being taken. If the company is going to succeed, they're raising money. There's a lot of equity out there. The M&A markets are opening. It's not all distressed M&A. Companies are preparing for IPO next year. The good companies are ready for next year to be a good place in the market. Companies that are still having trouble, that are having trouble raising, that maybe were overcapitalized or raised too much money and spent it, are still having trouble. But I think the lid's being pulled off the pot now. And so I sense that there was this like stuckness in the market that's opening up now in both directions. It's going to go well for some companies, not so well for others, but things are going to start flowing. And I think, you know, in my mind, one of the reasons it's interesting to be a debt lawyer is that no matter what's happening in the market, debt always plays a role, right? When the equity markets are hot, there's a role for debt. When the equity markets are cold, there's a role for debt. When it's in the middle and everyone's not sure, we get creative with the debt. But the lenders that are in the space, they are active and reactive to what's happening around them and able to provide solutions that enable better outcomes than we otherwise would have seen. So I think sitting in the place that I sit in doing debt transactions, whether the M&A market is up or down, whether the equity market or the IPO market is hot or not, we are always active. My clients are always active in buoying up a balance sheet to make it look even better than it is, or keeping it afloat so that it doesn't sink all the way to the bottom.
There's actually an interesting topic there that I think folks listening in might like to learn more about. And, you know, I'm obviously in the tech segment, CEO of a tech company. So, you know, I live in those details, but I don't think most people fully understand. So like what happened in the last, call it 3 years, this bubble of 2021, I think people know that. There was obviously correction to the market where a lot of people start to cut costs aggressively. But just a recent example where I think people were feeling confused about, and maybe from your perspective, you can share the details and explain it in simple words. But it definitely is feel like things are bouncing back, but doesn't stop big companies on cutting costs or making layoffs or RIFs, like reduction in forces, right? What should like management executives, but also just individuals working in mid-size and up companies, how do they should think about next year? Listening to what you're saying, things are bouncing back. The fork in the road has been taken. I feel it myself as well in my business. It's very clear. Yeah, it's interesting you said 60 days. Yeah, I felt it in the last quarter type of thing, but like it's the same thing. But where like things starting to take a turn. But let's try to take it kind of like simplify to people. Like what happens in those boardrooms, in those executive meetings when they're trying to plan for next year, knowing what you're seeing in the market?
I think the biggest key to think about if you're, no matter what your role is in the industry, you need to be thinking about what value are you bringing? What extra value do you bring to the situation that benefits your institution, right? If you're a solopreneur, you have your own thing, it's all about you and your personal brand. But you might also bring you and your personal brand to your company, and that may bring value to the firm that you're with, right? You also have to, it's also about what industry are you in, right? One of the areas I know that companies overhire was in marketing, right? They hired tons and tons of marketing people. Are they getting rid of their marketing function? No. But are they going to keep the people who give them the most bang for the buck, the most value in that marketing, or have the most diverse skill set? Yes. So I think for people out there in the industry, it's important to stay current, read the Wall Street Journal, read The Economist, stay current on what's happening in currency markets, with crypto, with the stock market, and really bring a value added perspective to your employer. You know, knowledge is information these days. And so use the information that's out there. Use AI if you have to. Use a calendar reminder to remind you to check sources, subscribe to mailing lists that are applicable, go to events in your industry. You know, I tell people just dive in, and the people who dive in, who are passionate about what they're doing, these things come naturally to them. They have a thirst for knowledge. They have a thirst for innovation in their industry. Your employer will see that for the most part. If you're just there punching the clock, you're probably in trouble.
I agree with everything you're mentioning. One of the way I've seen too, part of that confusion, especially with a newer segment of the workforce, if you will, is, and there's a reason kind of I brought up 2021 a second ago. In my opinion, we're not going to come back to 2021. And if we will, it will be bad for the economy. It's not a good thing. It means that it is unhealthy. And in many ways, so like being an efficient organization, being responsible, but still optimizing for growth, that is like the baseline. Not optimizing for growth at any cost, or what we've had in the last three years, which is like what you described very accurately, being on the defense, being on the holding pattern, which is also not natural. So, because that was a reaction to the extreme growth at all cost. So that to me is very interesting dynamic, because there's some people that joined the workforce just in the last 5 to 10 years and not necessarily got used, because up to 2021, there was still, you kind of like went into a ramp up there.
Yep.
And so you mentioned it, right? You've been in San Diego for 20 years and you've been in this for a while. People should stay curious. They need to understand that no matter the size of the company they're in, if they're not contributing, like you said, then they're at risk. You mentioned AI. You mentioned,
and look, if you're not passionate about what you're doing, you probably should find another job in this industry. This isn't a clock punching industry. You're not clocking in and clocking out. Or if you are, that's fine, but you should be. Entrepreneurs are passionate about their business. They need their employees to, I don't, not necessarily match their passion, but at least bring it to their facet of the business, right?
And care, honestly, like I think that's another way to think about enthusiastic, right? Do you even care?
Yeah, of course.
And I think that a lot of times it is an early indicator of whether you're passionate about something. Do you care?
Absolutely.
Very well. So speaking on, you know, kind of caring and helping people, let's talk about the mentorship network, the legal, what is it? Tell me more.
Yeah, so I'll give you a quick background. So I've always done a lot of formal and informal mentoring here at the firm. I traveled around the country here about a decade ago with a couple of my partners doing best practices for associates on how to build relationships, how to do business development, how to think about being a great associate. During COVID, there was this viral LinkedIn post from my co-founder, Brian Potts, and it was a picture of his rejection letter from the law firm hanging in his partner office at that very same law firm. And the theme of this post was like, look, never give up, right? Just because you got rejected once doesn't mean you can't be a partner here one day. And the very long story short is out of that post came an offer by him to mentor law students. And I could see on this post, like hundreds of people were posting on it. And I was like, there's no way this guy's going to mentor hundreds of law students. I sent him an email. I said, hey, I know you don't know me, but I saw your post. I love it. It looks like you're like a litigator, like a regulatory lawyer. I'm a transactional finance corporate lawyer. If you want, if there are people who are interested in that area, why don't you direct them my way? And I'll take those and you take the litigation regulatory ones. And maybe we could just split it up and that way we can get to more people. And he was like, that would be amazing. I have hundreds of these emails. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was like, all right, I'll enlist other people too to help at my firm. So he basically started forwarding me emails of people who wanted mentors. And I raised my hand and I said, look, anyone who wants a mentor for a transactional practice, contact me. And each of us, I think, did dozens of mentoring calls for weeks, months at a time during COVID. Just the demand was unbelievable. And so from that, we ended up partnering up with a woman who's in-house at IBM. She agreed to be the executive director. We got DLA to kick in $50,000 a year to pay for the nuts and bolts, the website, the software. We basically created this thing called the Legal Mentor Network. It's the first ever formal mentoring network for lawyers and law students. If you are a young lawyer or a law student, you can go sign up with our software, talk about the kind of mentor you want, in what industry you want, and you will be paired with a mentor who will call you, contact you, take you out to coffee. We've done meetups in cities all over the country. We actually are doing one in Singapore next year. We've had our gala twice where we've had hundreds of lawyers and law students come and gather. We've done a bunch of Zoom programming where we do webinars on, the next one is on financial money management for associates. We've done time management. We've done mental health. We've done best practices for young lawyers, open to all kinds of suggestions. So it's basically a hub for mentoring for lawyers. And the reality is, I'm shocked that no one ever did this before. I don't know. There's probably a way to make money off of it, but we're not. It's purely for the benefit of doing it for the community. And the response has frankly just been overwhelming.
That's phenomenal. That's so, so fun and impactful. You know, I think there's something literally you cannot even put a number to it, like a value dollar amount to it of that real life advice. Right. I think so many times you said, like, you know, you could probably make money out of it. Like the problem is that when this becomes making money out of it, a lot of times you end up with those groups. I'm not trying to downplay those groups. They also helpful in ways, but you know, those groups that are maybe like alumni of certain universities or local kind of like folks that are really trying to give basic advice to people that are really like thirsty to anything. While the things that makes a difference is real work, real life type of advice and insight and support. And a conversation, sometimes 30 minutes conversation, can really change someone's career trajectory and life trajectory sometimes, honestly, because there was someone there that kind of gave them an advice. And we talked about it prior to this podcast. This is my version of it, bringing in folks to share their stories, because how helpful that is for folks that need to hear it. So what is the plan then? You guys are growing worldwide, or, you know, this is exciting.
Yeah, we're planning on taking it worldwide. You know, I think the basis of these events are things that you can do anywhere. Anyone can host a happy hour get together. Anyone can join a Zoom. Anyone can meet a mentor in their local city. That's why I think it's fantastic. It's organic. It's, you know, it's not contrived. And I'll tell you this, the thing you had asked me to give some insight that maybe people don't understand about their lawyers, because a lot of people who are listening to this call will go, I'm not a lawyer, but I work with them and they're a bit of a weird beast and I never know how to approach them. I'll tell people to remember this. The next time you're dealing with your lawyer, remember that person spent a lot of years in school to do what they're doing. They probably worked pretty hard in high school for 4 years and then college for 4 years and then 3 years of law school and then killed themselves for a summer studying for the bar. These are people who are used to being perfectionists and really good at what they do and working really hard and achieving really good results. Well, guess what? You put all that hard work in and you show up day one as a lawyer and you suck. You don't know how to do anything, especially as a transactional lawyer working for a company. You have to learn a whole new set of skills that you're not really prepared for, that you learn on the job. And so I think many lawyers are afraid to admit, I don't know what I'm doing when I first start. And guess what? You don't know what you're doing. That should be the expectation. I think normalizing that, like, brand new lawyers are like clueless is okay. It's okay to feel that way because you are. You don't know what you're doing. You learn by experience. You learn by doing it. You learn sometimes by getting your ass in the office and sitting around other lawyers doing it, or getting on the road and going and visiting a client. So I think particularly in the legal industry, informal mentoring or mentors from other law firms or other law schools who have a different perspective and can bring maybe a non-judgmental perspective are really helpful. You don't necessarily want to go down the hall and admit to be senior lawyer on your team that you're scared because you don't know what you're doing, right? You might tell someone else that at another firm in another industry. So I think having this, like, not quite anonymous, but, you know, a buddy somewhere else that can really give you honest advice where you can really, you know, lay it on the line is super helpful in the legal industry.
This episode is brought to you by Tonkin. Tonkin is the operating system for business operations, providing businesses with the building blocks to orchestrate any process with no code or change management required. Contact us at tonkin.com to learn how you can build complex processes fast.
Very true, very true. If I'm trying to combine this part with kind of the first topic we were started with, in your recent sessions with folks, young lawyers or even students, how does this environment change for new folks that are joining? Obviously, AI is a big word and hold in one hand a lot of promise, and the other hand, some kind of have over expectations. What advice you kind of give to some folks there? Is it different? Do you think it will be different, the state of where the workspace that they're going to join in the next year compared to what it was 10 years ago?
100%, it will be different. But life is constant iteration. And I think getting used to constant iteration is a good thing, right? There's no wrong time to join because it's a stream. You can jump in the stream at any point as long as you're okay with going with the current. So I think we're at a point where the pace of change is accelerating. But you're right. Sitting here at the end of 2024, we don't know what impact AI will have in 2025 and beyond. It will be an impact. It's just hard to tell how quickly and how deeply. So I'll go back to something I posted about on LinkedIn recently, which is my best suggestion for new people in law, and really this applies to any industry, is to really apply the skills that take no talent whatsoever. Being on time, being organized, being courteous, being helpful, taking good notes, being a good listener, always going the extra mile, being really curious. Be kind to like everyone, including the staff and the janitors and everyone around you. All of these sort of like best practices for life that take no particular skill. It doesn't take any skill to do those things. Anybody can do those things. And I think if you bring that to a new environment where you're open, you're willing to work hard, you're willing to take feedback, you're willing to learn and dive in, you can figure out where in the stream you've dove in. You don't need to worry about what was happening a year ago or two or three ago, or even 6 months ago. All you need to worry about is where your organization is right there, what's pertinent to them there, and how you can best apply yourself, you know, to be impactful. Like we said before, right? How can you make an impact? Are you someone who's, it's even funny to say, are you someone who doesn't love technology? These days, hard to be that person. But you know what? Maybe you're someone who goes, I don't know, this AI thing, I'm not really sure what to think about it. I'm not really sure how to use it in this job. And I have so many other things to learn that, you know what? For right now, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to worry about being there on time, being a good listener, doing what people tell me, being helpful, being kind, being generous. And maybe I'm going to observe for a little while what other people are doing. Or you may go, you know what? AI is my jam. I'm going to figure out in the first 3 or 6 months at my job how to best bring AI to make positive change on this institution. And I'm going to tell people what I think and ask them if they're interested in pursuing that. So I think that no matter which way you go, you can bring your authentic interests and self to your industry. There's a place for all different types of personalities and interests in business, right? Not everybody can be an AI expert. Not everybody needs to use AI in their work, or some people may be led to that by others. Just like some people, you know, you may have someone who's great at AI, but is disorganized as could be, and they need someone who's organized to help them bring their thoughts to a cogent presentation to be able to influence people internally to use that resource. Maybe it's some other resource, you know? So I think figuring out what your niche is really helpful, and I'll translate it to myself. When I joined this law firm, I didn't anticipate that I was going to be helping run a group of people or run a law firm. I didn't imagine I would be in management. That's where I find myself now, spending 2/3 of my day helping run a law firm, helping run a group, recruiting lateral partners, doing stuff like the Legal Mentor Network. That's a skill set that I've learned and adapted to over the last few years, because the more I expressed my interest in helping with internal projects, the more they had me help. And that evolves to a point where you go, the more you volunteer, the more you find something you're passionate about, the better at it you get. Not that many lawyers are great at running businesses, it turns out. They're great at being lawyers and doing their stuff, but they're not great at running businesses. It also turns out it's the same thing in the health tech industry. Scientists are not great at running businesses, so they bring in people who are to help them run their business. Does that mean that one or two of them become a great CEO of a company? Yes. But generally, you know, people have to realize where their skill sets lie. So I think encouraging folks to embrace their passions within the scope of their work and finding out where they can be the most impactful, that's a no-lose proposition for both the employee and for the employer.
You know, the most cliche thing is comparing things to a sports team, but I always find it just the most visual, simplest thing. Whatever your jam is, whatever type of sport you like.
Absolutely.
There's different positions on the field, and the team crumbles if any of those positions are not being performed well enough. And some looks like they have more glory than others, but in reality, they're all important pieces of that puzzle. And to add that same color to your point is, what is the most basic thing is, you know, do your part, have the trust of your teammates and so be a team player, really. And I agree wholeheartedly that really every time there's uncertainty, you need to go back to the fundamentals. And I think you listened to very well, the fundamental, what it means to be part of a team and do your part of an organization. Maybe a good place to get to closure here is mentors, the advice you give folks. I always like to ask earlier in your career, things that, an advice that you might got early that you feel made a dent on how you think that see things and feel like it's worth paying forward.
Yeah, absolutely. The best general advice, no matter what industry you're in, whether it's legal or otherwise, or my best thoughts on the last almost 25-year career is to build relationships with a long-term horizon. Build relationships with people who you like, who you enjoy being with, who are interesting, who you might agree or disagree with, who are in your industry. For lawyers, especially, some of those people would be like the other lawyers you work opposite, the principals that you work opposite, the other lawyers in your law firm, with a long-term horizon, right? Without expecting what can this person or knowing them do for me now, and instead look at how is my life a little richer? How do I benefit from knowing this person and being involved with them? Because you never know where your career is going to go and you never know where their career is going to go, right? Some of the best relationships that I have now are either institutions or people that I started building relationships with a decade ago or more that didn't pan into actual work for a very long time. I call it marinating. You have to let relationships marinate, right? It's just like grilling food. You can't slop the marinade on the meat and expect it to just be ready to go on the grill. You have to give it the appropriate amount of time. Dough needs to rise. You can't just throw it in the oven. So it's the same thing. You know, I hate to make sports comparisons, but you look at athletes and how they mature over their career, right? Very few athletes come in and make like boom, immediate impact. Even the ones that do, they've been working on it for many, many years as a kid through high school, through college, right? They had a long-term horizon for all of the hard work that they put in. So when I got put in this role 2.5 years ago, I said to my boss, look, I'm taking a 5 to 7 year horizon here for the change that I'd like to see or for the impact that I'd like to have. Please don't judge me after 1 year or 2 years because I'm not going for 1 or 2 year results. If you do, it's not going to be successful. And I think that you want to put yourself in a position where you see a 3 to 5 year horizon for your, you don't need to be there forever, but you need to have a nice horizon where you're going to learn and grow and expand, right? When I think about the young lawyers coming into our practice, I want them to have their first 5 years so full of training and learning and mentorship and knowledge that after 5 years, they might choose to stay with us, but they have options. Every other law firm is going to want them and other companies are going to want them in-house because they're going to be so well-trained, right? That's my vision for the group is that we've got the most well-trained crew ever, not because that means they're going to all stay, but because we're giving them the opportunity to either stay and be amazing or leave and be amazing. So I think that, you know, please, by all means, look 5 years into the future and see where you want to be with your career and act accordingly. You never know where the opportunities are going to come. You don't know what relationships are going to bear fruit. And frankly, you know, being nice to people almost never comes back to hurt you.
What I love the most about this, and this is amazing, but you know what I love the most about this is if you believe that technology is going to continue to get better, and the work you do is going to change and you're worried about it, the best insurance policy is to go back to the fundamentals of people, which is the relationships.
1,000,000%.
You know what I mean? And investing in those and understanding that we all, it's just people doing people work, you know, work, yep. People working with people, like everything we are, everything we do is for other people. So, you know, if people are not involved anymore, the AI is not going to do things with AI. It has no meaning. And so at the end of the day, that's what I love about this. It's so fundamentally basic human concept of not only relationship, long-term relationships, and how the, where do you want to go and have that mindset? So thank you
and
so much.
I know that like it's not immediate gratification. I think that's a big challenge, right? In our society, everything's immediate gratification. Uber Eats just brings your food to your house. Boom, just like that. You want to download a movie, it's there on demand. You want to find a new partner. I haven't online dated in a very, very long time. But apparently, you can have 100 people at your fingertips, you know, snap your fingers in a second. And I think that some of those amazing instant gratification things in our society are counterproductive in the business and work environment, right? It just doesn't work. Very few things work that way. Sure, there's the one-offs, the influencers or the whoever, but you know, those people might make money, but when they look back at their impact on society later in life, I don't think having 100 million followers because you just have a bunch of followers is going to really be useful. I think the people who have social media presences because of the amazing things that they do, whether it's in business, in culture, in art, movies, film, music, those are the people who look back at their lives and go, wow, I had an amazing career. I created something incredible. You know, you have to really have that perspective to know, like, look, most people getting into the business industry or the finance industry, it is not going to be a boom pop and all of a sudden you've made it. You got to put honestly, you got to put in the time and energy.
I think it's a lie to think that anything, anyone that is success, is truly successful in a field has an overnight success. Like the concept of overnight success is a complete fake narrative. Like folks that are Instagram influencers, they spend so much time and so much different accounts
money.
Money that go nowhere. If you ever listen to anyone that actually made it, truly made it, it's more than a full-time job. It's like, it's all they do. It's all they breathe. Everything they do, they think about how to make content that will engage people. And then they're no ones until like they get trending. And then it looks like all of a sudden they're like overnight success, but it's really been like months, years, depends on that they were trying to find the niche, to your point earlier. So literally, I don't think there's any example that is truly, truly, truly successful unless you actually work at it. Even if you get like an opportunity, that happens, right? People get opportunities dealt to them. But what do they do with that opportunity? That's also not trivial.
So many a million percent.
Right? Took an opportunity and made something big out of it. Don't judge them on the opportunity they got. Judge them on what they did with it. So many other people got a similar opportunity and weren't able to capitalize on it. But those are all great things. If someone wants to join the, you know, the Legal Mentor Network, either as a mentor or mentee, where do they go?
LegalMentorNetwork.org. You can go there and sign up.
Perfect. And if anyone wants to continue geek out with you on those topics, is LinkedIn the best place? Is X?
LinkedIn's great. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. You can reach out to me on my DLA email. Matt.Schwartz@us.dlapiper.com. You can find me on our website, whatever you like. I'd be happy to chat.
Very good. Matt, thank you so much for this. That was a blast.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Business Operations. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at tonkin.com/mbopod. Thank you for listening and be sure to subscribe for updates on future episodes. And if you're interested in staying up to date on all things business operations, join the Tonkin community at tonkin.com/community.